today on Living on Every Word.
When God has got a call in your life and asking you to do certain things, something that God might ask you to do right now that you're fleeing from and that you're not wanting to do, it might be something like making something right in your family. It just may be a number of things that God's called us to do as believers, but we run the other way. It never works for us. Fleeing the presence of God will never work for you.
Is there something in your life that God has called you to that you don't really want to do, that you keep avoiding? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher lays out six important principles about the call of God from the story of Jonah and what we can learn from them in part two of Embracing Our Call.
Living on every word.
We spoke last week of the call of God and what that looks like. The call of God means that God comes along and calls you to a specific task in this life. It may be a lifelong call. It may be just a series of things that God has called you to. The second thing we saw last week is the call of the human need. People need God. They need Christ. And we hear their call as Paul did in Acts chapter 16 when the man in the vision from Macedonia said, "Come over and help us." The third element is a call to transformation, that we are called to be like Christ. Again, it's the character issues that we are to walk in. We are to reflect Him in all that we do. And then the fourth element was a call to service. As each of you have received a special gift in service, you are to employ that gift in serving one another. Now, this morning I want you to turn to Jonah. There's a number of lessons in this passage of Scripture that I want us to look at. They're principles from the life of Jonah about servanthood. Jonah is a prophet of God. We know him from Jonah mostly, but we also have another scripture in Samuel, 1st or 2nd Samuel, that speaks of Jonah as having proclaimed God's message to the children of Israel. By the way, that message was a positive message. It was a message of hope, but yet the children of Israel did not repent under his ministry. One day, I guess after that, the word of the Lord in verse 1 came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea so that the ship was about to break up. Verse 5, the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you're sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." And each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots so that we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us." So they cast lots and the lot fell to Jonah. And they said to him, "Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." And the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, "How could you do this?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. So they said to him, "What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?" For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. And he said to them, "Pick me up, throw me into the sea. The sea will become calm for you, for I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you." However, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. And then they called on the Lord and said, "We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us, for you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased." So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. And then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of this fish 3 days and three nights. The first principle is this, that when God calls, you best obey. When God calls, you best obey. You best respond to what God is saying. And I'm not just talking about a ministry. I'm talking about whatever God calls you to. Whatever God says for you to do or to be about. You best obey Him. disobedience is a very bad thing in the kingdom of God. It's a very bad thing to the name of God, but it's also a very bad thing to you and to me when we disobey. Because things just don't work out when we're disobeying God. They just don't. And so it's a very bad thing to disobey. In 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said, "Has the Lord to Saul, who disobeyed God, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry." Saul was given a task, and he disobeyed God. And the prophet Samuel came to him and said, "Listen, you disobeyed me, and I want to tell you how serious disobedience is. Disobedience is as the sin of divination, witchcraft." And see, it's real easy for us to say, "Well, I'm glad I'm not a Satan worshiper. Glad I'm not sacrificing to demons. Glad I'm not over there following the Wiccan way. Glad I'm not one of Satan's children." But the Bible says disobedience is as the sin of divination. It's the sin of witchcraft. That's what he says. That's what the scripture says. Disobedience is a very serious thing. We know that from the Old Testament and from the law, that if you were caught with divination material or witchcraft stuff and you practiced, what did they do? They took you out and they stoned you. They killed you. Because nothing should be unholy in the camp of God. And I think it's a very telling thing to Saul, the leader of Israel, when the prophet says, "Your rebellion, your disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft, and insubordination," and that's what it is, "you're insubordinate to God, is as iniquity and idolatry." Disobedience is a very, very serious thing. There are some of you in here today, and there are some of us that one day, at some time, if not right now, have heard the call of God in certain areas of our life, and we've rebelled against that, and we've walked in disobedience, and God sees that as the practice of witchcraft. It's a very serious thing. But obedience is a very wonderful thing. And those who have walked in obedience know the wonder of God's work and God's provision. It's a good thing to obey. It's a bad thing to disobey. And that's what Jonah does. Jonah disobeys, doesn't embrace the call of God, doesn't embrace the Word of God. He disobeys, and the Scripture says that, well, he's about to find out the hard way what it means to disobey God. Because, I mean, he's a prophet of God. He's already prophesied. He's been one, according to the Word, I mean, he gave a very popular message to Israel. And here he goes, God sent, "Now go to this city, cry out to it." I mean, that's what prophets do. I mean, that's your job. And I'm asking you to go to the nations today. I'm not asking you to go to your people. I'm asking you to go to the nations. Now, a couple of months ago, we were talking about Assyria and another message, not about Jonah. And I shared with you that the problem in Jonah's mind was that Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, which was one of the cruelest empires ever. And when war took place, the men they captured were tortured, killed, impaled on stakes, lined up on the highways into the cities. Children were executed and women were enslaved. So cruel were these people that history speaks of mass suicides taking place in cities because they didn't want to be taken by the Assyrians. They were an evil people. And they were enemies of God. They were enemies of the Word. They were enemies of God's chosen people. And Jonah did not like Nineveh. He did not like Assyrians. He was prejudiced. Prejudiced. And God is telling him to rise up and to go. And he doesn't. He goes the other way. And here's the second principle. Second principle is that God will always find you. God will find you. God will find you. Verse 17, "The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights." You know, it's interesting because in the Holy Land, if he was to arise and go to Nineveh, he would be going 500 miles northeast. Northeast. Instead, he goes to Tarshish, which is by the Straits of Gibraltar, 2,500 miles away. He is going to the farthest part. The farthest part of the known world, fleeing from the presence of God. But God will always find you. God will always find you. Psalm 139, verse 7 says, Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. Well, the right hand of God has laid hold of Jonah. Running does not avoid God. It just makes it difficult for you. You can run, but you can't hide. God's got His call on you, and you're pursuing something else other than the call of God in your life. The call to God, the call to the human need, the call to transformation, and even the call to service. If you are running from that today and pursuing something else, I want to tell you, God will find you. Running does not avoid God. It just makes it difficult. And what he does is he finds himself on a sea, fleeing from the presence of God, putting the life of other people in danger because of his disobedience, realizing that he is the fault of this. The lots are cast. They end up throwing him into the sea, and the sea calms, and he sinks to the bottom. And the fish comes and gets him. And there he's there for 3 days. God says, listen, you can't run from me. You cannot run from me. Once caught, no escape. And that's a good thing. Once God catches you, there is no escaping. And it's interesting to me because when I look at this passage of Scripture, it says that he was in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord. Well, he's a stubborn guy. There ain't no way I'm going to Nineveh. I mean, I guess he thought he was going to be thrown in, he was going to drown. But I am not going to Nineveh. One day, he's not dead yet. 2 days, he's not dead. 3 days, he's not dead yet. So then he prays to the Lord. There's this decision that's taking place in his life that says, listen, God's not going to let me go. I'm caught. There's no escape. I thought there was escape, but there's not. Here I am in the bottom of the sea, and this fish has swallowed me. And the Scripture says that he said, I called out, chapter 2, verse 2, out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice. You cast me in the deep, in the heart of the seas. Current engulfed me. Your breakers and billows passed over me. And I said, I've been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. Ah. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head, and I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth was its bars around me forever. You have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. And those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with thanksgiving. That which I have vowed I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry ground. You know, I think another point here is that God's going to always discipline you. It's the discipline of the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that whom the Lord loves, He reproves. He disciplines. And He says if you're without discipline, then you're illegitimate children and you're not true sons of God. Because our God, when you come to Him and you become His child and you decide to go a different way, He will discipline you because He loves you. Jonah running from the presence of God after being called, did it work for him? Did that work for him? No, it didn't work for him. When God is asking you and God's got a call in your life and asking you to do certain things, you know, it's something that God might ask you to do right now that you're fleeing from and that you're not wanting to do. It might be something like making something right in your family, making something right with your neighbor. It just may be a number of things that God's called us to do as believers, but we run the other way. It never works for us. It gets us deeper in trouble. And the farther we run, the deeper we get into it. It's just the bottom line. We can all testify to that. Fleeing the presence of God will never work for you because He will catch you. He will catch you and He will discipline you. I mean, He's in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And you know what's interesting about this? The Bible says, notice, Then he prayed to the Lord his God. It takes him 3 days. But I'm going to tell you, after 3 days, he cries out to God. And this is the fourth principle. God will always hear you when you cry out. He'll always hear you when you cry out. God, get me out of this mess. God, I'll do what you called me to do. And the Bible says that the fish spits him out. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. So Jonah arose, and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk, and Jonah began to go through the city a 1 day's walk, and he cried out, and he said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. God hears his cry, spits him out, and gives him a second call, or the same call, twice. And here's a fifth principle. God's purposes always stay the same. His plans will not be thwarted. God's purposes are always the same. And so when the fish spits you out, you need to run to the last thing God calls you to do and obey it. Take the second chance. Take the third chance, the fourth chance that God gives you. God has a call on your life, purpose. When He speaks to your heart to do something, to say something, it's a call of God. Obey it. You best obey. Whatever call of God on your life that you're resisting, God's purpose is always going to stand. Isaiah 46, verse 9 says that. It says, My purposes won't be thwarted. My plans will not be thwarted. Jonah, you can't thwart my plan. These people are going to repent. I'm going to save the nation. I'm going to save these folks. My purpose for Nineveh and Assyria will not be thwarted. A matter of fact, what we're going to find here is that after the first day walk, verse 5 says, the people of Nineveh believed in God. Successful ministry already. People are being converted. Watch this. And they called a fast, put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. And when the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. And he issued a proclamation. And it said, In Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water, but both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth. And let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked ways and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows, God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish. And when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which He had declared He would bring upon them, and He did not do it. You know what I love about this? Is that all Jonah does is says 40 days in Nineveh will be overthrown. You know, I look at this king who has a long history behind him of cruelty and evil and sinfulness. How in the world did he know how to call upon God? How in the world did he know how to proclaim a fast? How in the world did he know about repenting of wickedness? How in the world did he know that this God was the true God? And I want to tell you why I believe. I believe because every one of us who come into this world, we come with eternity in our hearts. We may be broken and we may be sinful, but we have something deep in there that we know is missing. And when the word comes along, we go, aha, that's it. Eternity in your heart. God had a purpose to heal and to save the heathen. He called one of his choice servants who said, to God. Now, I've heard some interesting historical things about this. One of them is that 3 days in the belly of a fish will mess your appearance up. Okay, there's something in everybody's belly, man and beast, and it's called acid. And some folks believe that, or who've experienced, I think there's one or two experiences in history where, besides Jonah, where they were swallowed by fish and lived. But when he came out, they said he was probably just white, white, white from head to toe. Probably no hair. He's been bleached. And I imagine, you know, folks in the Middle East, kind of a little bit darker complected, I imagine he was a sight. And when it came out of his mouth that in 40 days Nineveh was going to be destroyed, somehow they believed it. Matter of fact, the scripture says in Luke 11 that Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites. It was a sign to the Ninevites. And what a sign he was. Matter of fact, as we just saw, God's purposes are not going to be thwarted. And therefore, he gets up and he goes and he proclaims that one proclamation, and in one day, they're starting to repent. And they're starting to turn. And so the thought is that God's purposes will always stay the same. I mean, the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. They'll always stay the same. Now, that may look different sometimes for us. I mean, there might be a change in scenery. There may be a change, but the call of God and the gifts of God in your life, God has called you to. And you best obey. You best obey. Chapter 4, verse 1. God did not do it, the scripture says. Did not bring the calamity. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, but it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish because I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. I knew you were going to do this. And I didn't want you to do that because I hate those people. I don't like those people. I don't want to go to heaven with them. I don't like them. I knew that you would do a work, and I wanted to forestall it. And that's why I fled Tarshish. I hate those people. It's almost like God coming to you and saying, I need you to go into the Middle East, and I'm going to tell you right where you need to go to find the most powerful terrorists in the world, and I want you to go in and I want you to tell them about Christ. And you say, I don't want them coming to Christ. That's exactly what that's like. It's like God giving you the message right on and saying, I'll tell you exactly where to go, and I'll tell you exactly what to say, and I'm sending you to these folks to come to Christ. And you go, because I don't like them people. You know, God says that we're to love our enemies. And we're to pray for those who persecute us. Them come to Christ. Them come to the Lord. But that's what he says. I knew that they'd repent. I knew that you were compassionate. And that's why I did it, God. That's why I fled. I knew that you were compassionate. I knew that they would repent. And that's why I did what I did. He says in verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life. He's pouting and he wants to die. He's upset with God. He's upset with this repentance of Nineveh. Just go on and kill me. Take my life, God. And the Lord said, do you have good reason to be angry? And Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. And there he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. He's still got this hope that fire's going to rain down from God and destroy this city. And the Bible says that God appointed a plant and it grew over Jonah to be shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. But God appointed a worm when dawn came the next day and it attacked the plant and it withered. And when the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul, saying, death is better to me than life. Isn't it interesting about God's sovereign power? The Bible said God appointed a worm. God appointed a scorching wind. God appointed the heat. God did this. God said to Jonah, do you have good reason to be angry about the plant? And he said, I have good reason to be angry, even to death. Oh, really? How absurd. He's a prophet of God. He's heard the word of God. And yet he loves the plant more than he loves the thought of obeying God. The Lord said, you had compassion on the plant for which you did not work and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Something so temporal. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right hand or left hand, as well as many animals? 120,000 people didn't know the right from the left. He's probably talking about 120,000 children. They estimate about probably 600,000 people lived in Nineveh. 120,000 were very young children who didn't know their right from their left. He said, you didn't have compassion on the children. You were waiting for hell to come down on these people. That's what you wanted. And you had compassion on this plant. You know what happens? Nothing else happens. It stops there. And you don't hear about Jonah again. Jonah had an opportunity to embrace the call, got a second chance, and still got hacked about it. I want to ask a question. What kind of spirit do you possess today? Is it the spirit that embraces the call of God, that even if God calls me to my enemies, I will go and I will love and serve them well? I will proclaim the excellencies of Him who called me out of darkness in His life, and I'll do that with great compassion, that God may save these which are lost. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? And I ask the question, is there something that God's called you to do that you've resisted and you're not obeying? You best obey, because it's not working for you. That's for sure. It's not working for you. And you find yourself in circumstances much like somebody who's been in the fish for 3 days, 3 nights. Stuck. Stuck in your Christian life, stuck financially, stuck emotionally, stuck in your relationship, just stuck in the belly of a fish. Now, I guess the question I'd ask you is, what fish are you in today? What is it that is causing you? What disobedience is causing you this grief? Would you cry out to God today? Because He'll spit you out. He'll get you spit out. And then would you respond to the call of God? Whatever He's called you to do, whatever He's asked of you, that you make this commitment that says, I will run not from the presence of God, because if you're running in disobedience, you're running from the presence of God. But I'll run straight to the presence of God and submit to the call of God in my life. I'll embrace the call of God. I'll embrace it today. Some of you need to surrender to that today. Some of you have sat here week after week, year after year, and you're not obeying the call of God. I can't define that for you. I can't tell you what it is. I can help you get there, but I want to tell you, you know. You know what God's called you to. I guess the next question is, what's in your life that you love more than you love God, His kingdom, and people, that would hinder you from sharing life with them? Would you give that up today? Would you give it up? Because it's a hindrance. It's a hindrance. And it's not just a ministry service. It is a service to your family, a service to your spouse, a service to the people that you work with. It's living the life out before them. It's following the Word of God. Are you doing that today? Father, we come before You. We thank You so much for Your great grace in our lives. So much for Your power, Your strength. I pray, Father, that we would be a people that embrace the call of God. And that, Father, there'd be nothing in this life that we would love more than we would love You or seeing somebody come to know You. Forgive us, Lord. But we thank You, Father, for the opportunity that we have to respond to the call of God. I pray that we'd respond. And respond now. I ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living